Find the game.
We are back here on the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are going straight to the wadeford.com hotline. That is where we find Sports Illustrated.
Woo!
MMQB. We've got Albert Breer joining us here on a big post round one draft day show. How you feeling, Albert?
I'm good. So you guys don't want my Dallas Turntakes anymore?
No, I mean, here we are thinking that, you know, we were going to be having a conversation Falcons taking a pass rusher, but that is not the case. They took Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback. Breer, can you walk us through, if you can, to some of the logic that may have gone into making this selection?
I think where you start is the last 3 years that the owner went through, and you know, the first year of Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot there, offloading Matt Ryan maybe a year before because of the way the Deshaun Watson thing went, and then, all right, like, we're going to do a reclamation project with Marcus Mariota, and then we're going to try to win with Bless with Desmond Ridder, and you know, in a lot of ways, I don't know how you guys feel, but I do have it in my head that part of this is the owner wanting a succession plan in place and overcorrecting to some degree what happened the last couple of years there. And look, like, the Falcons did all the work, right? Like, it was 3 weeks ago, they put a big group on a plane to fly out to Seattle and work out Michael Penix. They actually had plans to work out J.J. McCarthy, too. In Ann Arbor, that workout wound up getting canceled. There was a player and another team that canceled that one. So they had kind of left breadcrumbs for everybody. And I had heard over the last few days, yeah, they really like Penix. But there was this consensus that maybe they were doing that to appease ownership, right? Like, the owner maybe wanted them to look at the idea of putting a succession plan in place. And you know, ultimately, you see where it is, and where it is now is this was all very genuine. And, I guess the logic would be after 2 years of, I don't know if neglecting the position is the right way to put it, but not investing it the way a lot of other teams do. Now it's almost like they're over-investing in the position. And the premise would be, like, if we get it right, then the rest doesn't matter.
Albert, this almost felt like the day after a championship game when you get on socials and you see the reaction videos from the bars where one team won the championship and then the other team, you see the reaction from the bars around their town where they lost. Waking up today and watching some of the reaction videos from everybody watching the draft, whether there's Mercedes-Benz Stadium or people in the crowd in Detroit or wherever it may be, what was your reaction? You did a great job walking us through the logic, but now your initial reaction and the people you were around, just I think I speak for everybody here when I say I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting on a TV set, and I'm tipping ticks, so we're a little ahead of the draft, and I said Penix, and, like, it was like, you know, the record scratch moment, you know what I mean? Like, what? Like, what just happened? I think that a lot of people were stunned, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a team that just spent $45 million a year to fix the quarterback position. And, you know, like, making that massive investment and then turning around and, you know, spending a top 10 pick on a quarterback, you know, is going to surprise a lot of people. It's unprecedented what the Falcons are doing here, you know? And I think part of the shock is, like, look, like, so, and I think if we just want to look at this, you know, logically, you know, part of the reason why you draft a quarterback that high is because of the price you're getting him at, right? In other words, like, the Bears with Caleb Williams and the Commanders with Jaden Daniels and the Patriots with Drake May, the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, they're all going to be working now at an advantage where you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract and that gives you financial flexibility, you know. The Falcons aren't going to have that because, you know, when by the time Penix gets on the field and by the time, you know, you're in a position where you can offload Kirk Cousins, you're going to be, like, right at the end of that window to have your quarterback on a rookie contract. Like, you're going to have to find out really quick whether or not he's the guy, and then you're going to have to pay him, you know? So I, you know, like, just kind of like the way you think about team building, the way you think about the quarterback position, what the Falcons did here, like, just broke a lot of that in half. Now, that said, again, if it works, And if Cousins is a great answer for the next 2 years, and then Penix is the quarterback for the 10 years after that, then none of this reaction on a Friday morning is going to mean a thing. if that's the way this plays out, then unequivocally, Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris will have done the right thing. And I can tell you this additionally, guys. Like, I talked to guys there through the process. I know the coaching staff was very high on Michael Penix to the point where I think you may hear it come out over the next week or two that they had Michael Penix as 2A, 2B, like right there, you know, with anybody else, the second quarterback in the draft behind Caleb Williams.
Wow. Monday Morning Quarterbacks, Albert Breer joining us here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. AB, do you think that the Kirk Cousins response that came
Nobody
out about
calls
him.
You AB.
Don't, hey, I just called him AB.
Don't call this man AB.
We can nickname him AB.
No, we can't.
We're Albert, not, does anybody not here call
to nickname.
You AB?
A few people do, but people who like have just kind of taken it upon themselves to give me that nickname.
That's right. Well, that's what I just did.
I don't mind it. I'm a little less crazy than another AB, right?
I'd say so.
So, like I was saying, AB, do you think with Kirk Cousins' response to this, saying that he was not expecting it, that they called him during when they were on the clock, do you think that'll cause any kind of issue moving forward, or is he going to be what we've always thought of him as, is the constant professional?
Do you mean like he's going to have like a really bizarre press conference a year from now, like we might have seen somewhere else a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Or like he might have a really crazy year with COVID or, yeah, no.
Or maybe decide he might want to retire, but he might not, but maybe we have to go to a farm to find him.
Yeah.
He might become a regular on the Pat McAfee show. I think Kirk's going to handle this like a pro. I think you just wish the communication part of it would have been handled a little bit differently. And I do wonder, like, how Kirk deep down is going to feel about it, because I don't think he's going to come out and say anything, right? But, look, like, I know, like, in the process, and you guys might have read the story that I did on Kirk, like, when he came over, you know, big part of this for him when he was like considering his options was more than just the money. Like, he wanted to go to a place where like the contract would tell him he's the starting quarterback for a few years, you know? And so like the whole thought was there's guaranteed money, you're going to third year. And really, like, if you read the contract, like, you're pretty much assured that you're gonna be the quarterback for 2 years, but I think he had it in his head, like, this gives me 3 years of runway. We heard him in the press conference, it's like, I hope, you know, maybe this isn't my last contract in Atlanta. So he had that whole train of thought, and now the succession plan is already in place. And I would say this, too, like, you know, one of the issues with the Vikings was the Vikings were very upfront with him that, like, yeah, there's a good possibility we draft a quarterback this year, even if you're here, you know? And I think part of that, like, for Kirk was, like, I mean, they're starting to move me out of there, you know? I think that made him a little uncomfortable. So now to have his new team do just that, do the exact same thing, I mean, I'd imagine, you know, deep down, and I don't think you're going to see any of it outwardly, but I'd imagine deep down there might be some feelings there.
Be interesting to see how it ends up playing out. Albert, this draft, we haven't seen something like this since 1983, where you had six quarterbacks taken in the first round. Very offense-heavy. But what are your overall thoughts on how this first round played out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the first thing you look at, Tiffany, it's like six in the first round is a record, and it's six in the top 12, you know. And I think it's, again, like, I just a signal of how you can never do too much to get that position right, right? So we talk about the Falcons did. I mean, the Broncos – and the Broncos, by the way, aren't going to have that rookie quarterback, that rookie contract advantage with Bo Nix either for the next 2 years, because they're still carrying the cap charges for Russell Wilson, you know, in 2024 and 2025. So it's going to be 2026 before they're really operating with that sort of advantage, because they already made a massive mistake in taking a big swing, you know? So that's the first thing. I think the other thing that's sort of interesting, guys, is, like, if you look at it, like, if you look at the makeup of the first round, now you did have the three receivers in the top 10, but look at all the tackles. I think it was 8 tackles in the first round, and it really kind of slowed to a trickle at receiver. You had all of these teams that were looking at it and saying, we need a tackle, we need a receiver, let's go with the tackle. Because it's much harder to find those sorts of players. So that really stuck out to me, too, was how, you know, Brian Thomas, who's from LSU, you know, and a really, really talented guy, falls into the 20s. And, you know, you have, you know, Xavier Worthy still there for the Chiefs to trade up for at 28, you know. So I think, like, the importance of the offensive line positions was really in there, you know, as well. You know, and today will be interesting, too, because I think you still have some tackles. You have a lot of receivers that can go on day two. So how all that falls and whether the trend, you know, continues. You know, you see two receivers go at the end of the round there, Pearsall and Leggett. And I think that trend there, tackle over receiver, will be interesting to watch to see if that continues here early into the second round.
Finishing up here with Albert Breer. We got about 30 seconds, Albert. I'm just curious, is it anybody that's still on the board shock you? You got Cooper DeJean, you got, you know, Newton from Illinois, Adonai Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Anybody shock you that didn't come off the board last night and you might think go early today?
No, I mean, I'd say there are more surprises on guys that made it into the first round than guys that didn't. Like, I think Kool-Aid and DeJean and you know, like, I think those guys were, like, borderline, like, could fall out. You know what I mean? Johnny Newton would be a little more surprising just because it's hard to find interior pass rushers, and he is one. So maybe a little more surprising, but he's coming off a foot fracture. I guess I was a little more surprised to see Pearsall make it into the first round, and maybe that's the precursor for an eventual Ayuk trade. And Leggett, like, those two – that was just a little surprising to see those guys at the end of the round. I think overall, though, outside of, like, you know, the Penix, like, curveball and then the, you know, Knicks going 12, which, you know, like, I think, you know, some people expected. You know, outside of that, it was kind of a chalky first round, you know? Right. Or at least that's the way I saw it.
Albert, we got a lot more to look forward to, and I know you'll be busy today, so we appreciate you joining us this morning, not AB.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe you'll get a pass rush here today, Jeff. We'll see.
We can't wait. Thanks, Albert. That was Albert Breer joining us here on the show.